We are in the middle of our values series where we talk about, it's on your bulletin, it's on the screen, but being together and with Him in on mission. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we love Your presence, and we're so thankful, Lord, that in Your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, we desire to know that fullness of joy this morning. Lord, joy in every aspect. Lord, Your word says that righteousness, peace, and joy, these things, these are the kingdom. And Lord, we want to experience, we want to grow in the fullness of Your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we welcome Your presence, Lord. We welcome Your ministry, Holy Spirit, God, and we ask that You would fill each one of us even now as we hear, Lord, Your heart, God. We ask right now, Father, that you would transform us this morning, that You would renew us in Your presence, renew us in joy, Lord, renew us in a revelation, renew us in the knowledge of the Holy One, God. We ask this morning that You would captivate our hearts afresh, Lord, that You would release fire and zeal for Your house, Lord, on our hearts this morning, Lord, that we would in all things seek Your kingdom first, Lord. We love You, and we love the work that You're doing in us. And Father, we say, come and bring an increase, Lord, of anointing. Come and bring an increase of grace. Come and bring an increase of power, Lord, in our time together this morning. We love You and thank You for Your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text as we go through this series is from Mark chapter 3, and He appointed 12 so that they would be with Him and that He could send them out to preach. And so you get these three ideas that we're called to be together. There's a plural aspect, community, fellowship. God is building a people, a family, and we're called to be together. So it's not just me and Jesus. It's not just one person doing their thing. We're not all just living individual lives, coming to the same building at the same time every week. We're called to be a people and be built together. And as we looked at that a couple weeks ago, we saw three different aspects. One is that God's called us to be a family, which means that we're devoted in love for one another. By that, I mean that, you know what? This is life. This is relationships. We're going to butt heads. We're going to rub up against each other. We're going to rub each other the wrong way, offend each other, hurt each other. It's just inevitable. But love covers a multitude of sins, and we're devoted to one another as family in love. And so that doesn't mean we don't address the wrongs, but it means that we address them from a place of mercy and compassion, patience, and love. So we're devoted to one another as family. The Bible also says that we're called together as a body, in which case we're called to serve one another. The language that Scripture uses is that we belong to one another. And that's kind of an intense statement when you think about sometimes our mindset towards this meeting as we approach it kind of casually. I could go, I cannot go. No, belong to each other. There's something in our hearts that's actually kind of resistant to that. But the reality is when we serve one another, we're saying, I'm here for you. I'm here to prefer you over myself. I belong to you, which we don't like. But that's what Scripture's actually called to us. But even more so, just this year as I was processing this, I realized, you know what? When something belongs to me, I'm given charge over it to care for it and make sure that it's maintained its rightful place, that it stays productive, it stays healthy, it stays clean, right? And so in that sense, we belong to each other. Each other belongs to us. We are charged with caring for one another and making sure that we're staying close to the Lord. And finally, the Scripture, as it calls us together as a building, and that we're actually built into one another. And that our lives are not supposed to be isolated, but our lives are actually supposed to be intertwined and connected with one another. That as our kids grow up together, as we do meals together or game nights or just simply sometimes just have fun together. I know it's overused, but doing life together. As we ended last year, we had a harvest festival. We had a Christmas Eve service. We had family camp. These things are all designed to help us build our lives into one another. And we're called to live this type of life together. But then last week we talked about how it's not just, this isn't the end all of what it means to be a people. Because God is building us into one another with this point in mind, with this end in mind, that we would become a dwelling place, a temple, a building for Him to dwell by His Holy Spirit. And so absolutely, let's have fun together. Let's enjoy one another's company. Let's do life together. But the point isn't just to have a nice club or a nice group of people that we get together with. The point is His presence. The point is that His presence would be manifested among us. And thirdly, it says He pointed them that they would be with Him and that He could send them out to preach. Now, maybe at this point, you might be thinking, oh, it's the missional message. Oh, doesn't He know we're not all evangelists? Oh, please, don't make us go door to door. It's so awkward. All right, fine. I'll commit to trying to reach one person this year. I'll do it. These are thoughts that sometimes just start swirling in our heart and mind. And even in that, we know it shouldn't be like this. This shouldn't be in my heart. This shouldn't be the case. I mean, just as we said, the kingdom is joy. There should be something of excitement, of anticipation. There should be something in us that says, this is awesome and I want to be a part of it. But I think what we're missing here sometimes is as we look at this, we see that He sends them out together. Whenever Jesus, even to go get a donkey for Him to ride on, Jesus sent two of them together. And so He sends them out in fellowship, and He sends them out from His presence. He sends them out together, having been with Him. When a number of years ago, in fact, it was actually 2009, I realized. And so this is like, 8, almost 9 years ago. But we had decided, you know, I'll tell you something about my family. I'm biased. They're my absolute favorite people to be with on the planet. I love them. They're the best. We enjoy each other's company. We laugh together. We fight together. We work together. We play together. All of it. And my daughter Cora has been completely rebellious as I've implored her not to grow up, but she has completely defied me. And so now we're in this new stage of life where she's just not around for every meal and she's always off working or doing her college thing or whatever. And we couldn't be more proud of her, but oh, I want them with me. It's better when we're all together, right? That's just the reality of my heart as a father. And so, gosh, 10 years ago, we started to this process of adopting. God just put this on our hearts to bring in another child into the family. But the Lord graced us with wisdom in the fact that we realized we didn't just want it to be Jen and me doing the adoption. We wanted it to be a family thing to where we understood they were going to have to adopt him as a brother as well. Ultimately, he was going to have to adopt us as his family. And here's the thing, because we didn't want it just to be like, oh, that's that kid that mom and dad brought into the house that's always getting into my things. We wanted them to understand he was their brother. And there's a great message in that for another time about how we view one another. If we're not moving in the Father's heart, we're not going to see each other as brothers and sisters. It's just going to be that one that dad brought in, right? But in that, so we were all together. We were all sharing the same heart. And we had to go pursue my son. And so then we said, well, let's do this. Let's go at one of the Harvest Festival or the Taste of Tacoma, whatever that was. We said, let's set up a booth and let's do a bake sale. And it's a wonderful memory that we have in our family's life together. And here's the thing. Is we were together, we were with the Father, and we were on mission. Where does the separation between being together or being with the Father or being on mission? No, it was the whole thing, wasn't it? And it was a blast. And in that, you know, I mean, can you imagine trying to do that just by yourself? I want to bring somebody else into the fold. So just go out and do a bake sale. So there you are standing there trying to draw people in, trying to package the baked goods, trying to keep everything organized and the money in the right place and all this. It would be miserable. It would be completely overwhelming. Nobody would enjoy that. It'd be, Dad, do I have to do this? But there we all are all together. I'm calling people out, calling them in. Cora's handling the money. Somebody else is packaging the goods. Somebody else is organizing stuff. It was a blast. It was a lot of work, but it was awesome. It was so much fun because we were together sharing the Father's heart and we were on mission. This is a far cry from this idea of, oh gosh, I'm not called to do this. I'm not gifted to do this. I feel pressured. It feels awkward. And the reality is this point that I want us to go away with is that God has not called us to do anything apart from Him or apart from one another. This is there should be an anticipation. There should be an excitement in all of this. And there's two reasons for this. Because God desires not to send us out like, okay, I'll do it. I don't really expect anything to happen, but I'll do it just to satisfy you, just because I'm going to be a good Christian, just because it's what I'm supposed to do. No, he wants to be with us. He wants his kids together, and he wants to reveal his power in it. Amen. Two reasons. First is this, is God wants to send out his church in a place of strength. I used to run with a friend of mine, and on our road, there's a trail that goes, if it goes straight down, it comes out beside Gate Cottage on campus, and then it breaks off and goes to the left over to Little Falls. And we would start on my road, and we'd run down to Little Falls around campus and then end on that climb back up Gate Cottage. And you may just know the first part of it's paved, but beyond that, it's a Forest Service road, and it just keeps going up and just keeps going up. And some days he couldn't make it, and I would run it by myself. And I could run that first stretch on pavement, and then there's a switchback, and I would walk the switchback. And then after that, I'd have to like run from one telephone pole to the next, and then take a break, and then the next, and then I could never do it on my own. And I wish, if you know of a psychological study about this and why this is, please send it to me. I'd be fascinated to learn more about this. But when we would run together, I could do the whole thing. It wasn't like we were razzing each other or had to take bets. We weren't like, you know, the way men jab at each other sometimes. None of that was going on. There's no ego within me that said, okay, I gotta, you know, be stronger here for this guy. It was just, we were together. We were just together. The reason why Jesus sent his disciples out together is he wants to send out his people in strength. Not in weakness, not faltering, not getting distracted, but he wants to send them out in strength. Here's what Ecclesiastes has to say in chapter 4. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. God desires to send his people out in strength. There's something that happens when brothers and sisters are together with him, that it's just, there's so much more life to something than when we're on our own. So God wants to send his people out in strength. And here's the big one I think we're gonna focus on today. God wants to send his church out in power. We read Mark 3, verse 14, but 15 goes on to read this. He sent them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. You know, the power was part of the sending out. They were accompanied with power when they were sent out. If you're doing any type of ministry, let's just say even, you know, preaching every week, if I didn't open the Word of God, if I didn't meet Him in prayer at all in the week prior, what type of fruitfulness would I expect on a Sunday morning? None. Zero. Nada. Completely ineffective. Maybe because God likes you so much, He would bypass me and bless you anyway. But overall, I can expect fruitlessness because I wasn't with Him being sent out to preach, because I wasn't with him being sent out to minister. And so it is expected that we would minister in his authority, and in that authority we would manifest his power. Throughout scripture, you will never find disciples or Jesus moving or ministering absent of power. It always went together. Always. In fact, you could even say ministry without power is unbiblical. We look at the ministry of Jesus, and it says, as he was in the habit of doing, he would get away by himself in the mornings in a place of prayer. And Jesus tells us about his ministry. He says, the things that I'm saying are just simply the things that have been given to me by the Father to say. The things that I'm doing are just simply the things that I see the Father doing. And so it's not hard to deduce that his time of prayer was looking and listening to the Father, seeing what the Father was doing, hearing what the Father was saying. And then he would gather his disciples and go do it. Because when we see Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to go about doing good and setting free all who were oppressed by the devil. Craig quoted this morning that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came with a manifestation of power. Now here's where this thing gets exciting. Because you and I are called the body of Christ. The hands and feet of Jesus. Anybody ever hear that before? Not only the hands and feet, but also the mouth, the words of Jesus. Here we are. We're filled with the Spirit of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Through the Spirit of Christ, we're given the nature and the mind of Christ. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. We're to be filled with the Word of Christ. We're to know the love of Christ and to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus said this. He said, the works that I do, you're going to do even greater works than these. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. In other words, our witness is a direct reflection of the power and the authority that we walk in through the Holy Spirit. This isn't just something we can do in our own strength and expect fruitfulness. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit radiating the witness of Jesus in us and through us. When we talk about witness, we're not just talking about going door to door, but we're talking every part of our lives would radiate the power, the authority of the risen Christ. Sometimes people, again, they want to work us up into a frenzy. They want to get upset about something. They say, the church just needs to be more bold. The church just needs to be more serious about witnessing. We need to be contending. We need to tarry until we are clothed with power from on high. We need to be contending that we are moving in the same power and authority that Jesus did. We need to be crying out that we would walk in the greater works that Jesus promised would follow those who believe. Paul even says, I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive speech, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Paul tells us also, he says, this is not a kingdom of words. This is not a kingdom of good theology. This isn't a kingdom of good moral choices. This isn't a kingdom of meetings. It's a kingdom of power. We're not bringing people into good meetings. We're not bringing people into good moral choices. We're not bringing people into a better form or better theology. We're bringing them into an encounter with the risen Christ. That's exciting. That's an amazing opportunity to have. I love in Acts chapter 4, it's one of my favorite passages. Peter and John, they go to the temple and they raise a lame man. They get them trouble and they're imprisoned for a night and they're released the next day. But they come back to the saints and they have a prayer meeting. And the close of this prayer meeting, they ask this. They say, Lord, would you grant give us boldness? Would you stretch out your hand and accompany us with signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your servant Jesus? And this prayer request, it completely boggles my mind because they had just come from the upper room where tongues of fire had fallen on each one of their heads. Peter had gotten up and preached an amazing sermon and 3,000 people were added to their number. They go to the temple. They see a lame man healed. They get in trouble. They say, stop preaching Jesus. They said, we're not going to do it. So they're imprisoned and they ask for more boldness. They ask for more power. Because a one-time experience was not enough. A one-time visitation was not enough. They understood, I want an increase of boldness. I want an increase of power to mark my life. We don't just simply want to continue on going through the day-to-day, just going to meetings and doing life and never be visited, never come into a place of boldness, never come into a place where power marks us as a people. We want more. There's something more that these apostles, that these disciples, even having seen all of that, they still said, Lord, we want more. Having all of that boldness, they still cried out, Lord, give us more. Who will tarry? Who will contend? Who will cry out for the greater things that we are called to walk in? I look back on my life and I could see different stages, different points of contact, different points of connection. And you know what? They wasn't like I suddenly got this new revelation of how to do church. It wasn't suddenly like I got this new understanding of theology that fixed me or changed me or awoke in my heart. What marks my life at different points was encounter with the power and the presence of Jesus. I remember as a college student, I grew up in the church and I had done all the stuff and I had heard all the phrases and read all the scriptures, gone to all the camps and done all the memory verses and all the Sunday school. But the cry of my heart was, Lord, I want to see the power. All these leaders, all these preachers, all these teachers had talked about the power of God that's in the gospel, the power of God that's in the blood, the power of God that's in the resurrection. Yet I was not seeing it and I was not experiencing it. And so I didn't know what to make of it other than I just wasn't interested in something that was powerless. But in 1996, God met me in Philippians 3:10. It says, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I might somehow attain the power of the resurrection. And I said, God, if you're promising this resurrection, I'll give you everything. And he met me and he changed me with power. There's never been a day since that I thought, you know what? I kind of had things a little better back there. I want more. I want to know the power of the resurrection in an ever-increasing way. And a few years later, as a couple, we were just before we got engaged, we came to, at the time it was Grace Covenant Fellowship, and we were meeting in another building. And we had been to many other churches in town. I'm sure they're all wonderful places and people who love the Lord. But to me at the time, it just felt like more of the same. And I remember sitting in a service and for the first time feeling fire in my heart. And I would leave there and people would say, what did they talk about? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I just want more of him. I just want more. I remember as I started leading worship, I was in a leadership meeting. I was in my mid-20s and I was just the young man, the low man on the totem pole. And our lease was ending at this other building. We were getting this building built and we brought some guy in to kind of help us figure stuff out so that we could actually start meeting here. And I don't know what happened, but all we need to know is give us a list of priorities, the things we need to get done so we can start meeting here. And he just got, I don't know, anyway, he came in that day and he's just like, you know, the Lord woke me up and you know what? It's not about the building. It's about the people you're going to be ministering to. We're like, okay, right, but we need to get into the building. He's like, no, you're missing it. It's not the building. It's about the people and what God's going to do. And you could do this and you could do that. We're like, we understand. We just need to get in the building. And I was getting really, really frustrated. Like, I mean, this was on a Saturday morning. I'd left my wife and daughter at home to come hear this. Just get us into the building. That's the thing that we need. And I'm like, that's it. I'm just going to unleash on this guy because I'm done. And I look over and I see the former pastor, Brian McCray, and he's got a pen in his hand and it just starts shaking like this. And he's got red hair and kind of a reddish complexion anyway, but you just start seeing like a thermometer. He just starts turning red. It goes all the way to the top of his head. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. Right? And I witness a miracle because the grace of God just came on him. And the pen stopped shaking, and the red left his face. It's like the peace of God just entered in this room. And he said, all these things you're saying are great, but we need a building to do it from. We would love to do a soup kitchen, but we need a kitchen to do that in, right? And it's all like all of a sudden just clarity came to this guy. Oh, yeah, right. Here's what you need to do. Boom. And I'm sitting there like, this all just happened like in a minute's time. I'm like, what just happened in this room? You know, at that moment I realized that Brian had something in the Lord that I did not have, but I wanted that in my life. Men, is there anything in your life that younger men can look to and say, he has something in God that I don't have, but I need it in my life? Do we have a history? Do we have a walk with the Lord that leaves that kind of testimony that younger men can see and follow and say, I want to be with that guy because he has something. He has something of power in the Lord that I don't have, but I need. We went to a conference in Atlanta. And I was excited because one of my favorite worship leaders, Jason Upton, was there, and he kind of opened up the night, and it was all right. And then this speaker came out and he preached and it was powerful, but I don't remember anything that he said. And this other band came up that I don't know and they closed us out. But I never felt the presence of God with such intensity as I did in that time. I just remember the refrain that they were singing, Lord, here I am on your altar, send your holy fire. And I'm with there with the kids, and Jen. And Jen says, I'm going up. I said, you go, I'll stay with the kids. But as I'm there with the kids, I'm saying, Lord, I have to stay here, but I'm saying yes to this. I'm saying yes to this. I don't know what God did. I don't know. Today, however many years later, I can't explain it. I know that we walked out of there different because we encountered the presence and the power of God. Do you understand? Here we are, the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, to know the love and the resurrection of this Christ. And we've diminished it into this thing where you have to go around, you have to knock on doors, and you have to do this thing. No, we have to bring people an encounter with the person and the presence and the power of the risen Christ. That's what's on us as a people. That's the burden that we carry. It's exactly what Jesus did. He came to reveal the Father. He came to radiate His glory. He came to show us all that He is. And that same anointing is on us as a people. That gets me excited. That makes me come alive. Because here's the thing, is I look and I see on Facebook, I see friends that I went to school with who are zealous for the things of the Lord. They were zealous for the forum. They were zealous for doing the right thing. They were zealous for church ministry. And they've faded away and they've fallen away because it's not in the form. And I'm so thankful that I encountered the power of God because I came alive in that. And that's kept me close to Him. And I wish everybody I know could experience that life. Because nothing else will ever satisfy you. We have this treasure in hidden vessels to show that the surpassing greatness of this power is from Him and not us. In this Bible Belt culture where everybody's saved, what's going to break through? It's an undeniable encounter with the power of the risen Christ. He didn't just send them out to go do a task. He sent them out with power. And so let me close just with just a practical way, just so we can begin to walk this out. How many of you, whether you rent a home or even have purchased one, how many of you said, Lord, would you lead me to the right house? Did anybody pray like that? For the house? Yeah, the place for you to live, right? Yeah. How about your job? If anybody said, Lord, would you lead me to the right job? Yeah. Does God just simply want to give you a comfortable place to live? Or does He have greater purposes for His kingdom in your house? Did God just want to give you a nice job where you could provide for your family? Or does He have greater purposes in your workplace? What burdens your heart? What do you look around and see? And you say, God, I wish something would change there. I wish this was different. I wish you would come and visit this and bring healing and bring salvation. I wish you would change the situation. Do you have a burden for your neighborhood? Do you have a burden for your neighbors? Do you have a burden for the children in your neighborhood or the elderly in your neighborhood? Do you have a burden for those in your workplace? What are we to do about it? What if you got together with two or three close brothers and sisters in the Lord and said, we're going to take the month of February. We're going to meet weekly for lunch, for coffee. We're going to meet on our 15-minute breaks or whatever. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord what He would want us to do to reach our neighborhood, to reach our neighbors, to reach our friends, to reach our workplace. And then do what He says. Do you believe He's going to answer you in that? Do we believe He'll speak to us in that? That He'll give us a strategy, that He'll give us an open door? Do we believe that He's going to meet us in that with power? It's really no more complicated than what Jesus was doing when He was praying. He said, Lord, show me what You want to do today. Show me the open doors. Show me the things You want me to say. Show me the things You want me to do. What would happen if two or three of us got together weekly to pray into reaching the Ridgecrest community or some other subgroup within our culture? What would that look like? What would that release of the Holy Spirit's working over us as a people? Does anybody here say, I'm not an evangelist? No shaming. My hand's raised right now too. Anybody here say, I'm not an evangelist? You can hold it up high. It's okay. Keep it up. Let me just ask you this. Okay. No shaming. Would any of you say, I'm not called to walk in fellowship with other believers? Would any of you say, I'm not called to seek the Lord? Would any of you say, I'm not called to hear from Him and obey what He says to do? Okay, you're off the hook. You don't have to be evangelists. But you are. But let's try this. What if you gave yourself to this? Let's meet with two or three others. Let's seek the Lord for what He's burned our hearts with. Let's hear His voice and let's do what He says about it. Because when we're operating in that, see, the power came when they went. They didn't drive out demons while they were huddling in a circle with Jesus. That was awesome. But the power came when they were sent out. When they obeyed, when they did what he told them to do. Dave Ramsey uses this illustration with finances. He said, you know, broke is normal. He goes, let's get weird. Ineffective, powerless ministry is oftentimes normal. Let's get weird. Let's get abnormal. Let's change the dynamics here. Let's actually be intentional. What if missional living just looked like two or three people seeking the Lord for what He would have them to do? And then responding to His voice. It's awesome to be with other believers. It's awesome to hear the voice of the Father. It's awesome to have Him and work alongside Him as He begins to open up doors that you could never open up. As He begins to, suddenly, you're just at your workplace and somebody will come over and just ask you this profound spiritual question. And you're like, I'm going to have to finish this up on lunch break because the Lord really wants to meet you in this. What would change in the atmosphere? What would change in the spiritual dynamic of what He wants to do in this body if we just began to take one intentional step like that? What have you got to lose? What have you got to gain? And stuff like that's exciting. I want to be a part of a body, of a fellowship like that, to where together we're seeking Him and we're hearing Him and we're obeying Him. Because that's where we get to see Him move. So Holy Spirit, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the example that You've given us in Christ Jesus. Thank You for coming and visiting us and filling us with power to do Your work. Thank You that You have not left us as orphans, but You've come to us to see Your kingdom grow, to see your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And we say this morning, this is our cry, Lord. This is the desire of our hearts, Father, that we would not settle simply for routines and meetings and rituals, Father, but that we, Lord, you would awaken in us a greater hunger and a longing for your kingdom to come in Toccoa, Georgia, 2018 in power, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word promises is that as we ask you for these things, you promise to give them to us as a good father. Lord, we love you and thank you for what you're going to do in our body. In Jesus' name, amen.